Chapter 28. The Second Red Coast Base. 3 more years passed. Evans seemed to have disappeared. Yair didn't know if he really was somewhere in the world working to confirm her story and had no idea how he would confirm it. Even though, by the scale of the universe, a gap of 4 light-years was as close as touching, it was still a distance that was unimaginably far for fragile life. The two worlds were like the source and mouth of a river that crossed space. Any connections between them would be extremely attenuated. One winter, Yair received an invitation from a not very prominent university in Western Europe to be a visiting scholar for half a year. After she landed at Heathrow for her interview, a young man came to meet her. They didn't leave the airport, but instead turned back to the landing strip. There, he escorted her onto a helicopter. As the helicopter roared into the foggy air over England, time seemed to rewind and Yair experienced déjà vu. Many years ago, when she first rode in a helicopter, her life was transformed. Where would fate bring her now?
"We're going to the Second Red Coast Base."
The helicopter passed the coastline and continued toward the heart of the Atlantic. After half an hour, the helicopter descended toward a huge ship in the ocean. As soon as Yair saw the ship, she thought of Radar Peak. Only now did she realize that the shape of the peak did resemble a giant ship. The Atlantic appeared like the forest of the Greater King Anne Mountains, but the thing that reminded her most of Red Coast Base was the huge parabolic antenna erected in the middle of the ship, which resembled a round sail. The ship was modified from a 60,000-ton oil tanker, like a floating steel island. Evans had built his base on a ship. Maybe it was so that it would always be at the best position for transmission and reception, or maybe it was to hide from detection. Later, she learned that the ship was called Judgment Day. Yair stepped off the helicopter and heard a familiar howl. It was caused by the giant antenna slicing through the wind over the sea. The sound again drew her thoughts to the past. On the broad deck below the antenna, about 2,000 people stood in a dense crowd. Evans walked up to her and solemnly said, "Using the frequency and coordinates you provided, we received a message from Trisolaris. We've confirmed everything you told me." Yair nodded calmly. "The great Trisolaran fleet has already set sail. Their target is this solar system, and they will arrive in 450 years. Yair remained calm. Nothing could surprise her anymore. Evans pointed to the crowd behind him. "You're looking at the first members of the Earth Trisolaris organization. Our ideal is to invite Trisolaran civilization to reform human civilization, to curb human madness and evil so that the Earth can once again become a harmonious, prosperous, sinless world. More and more people identify with our ideal, and our organization is growing rapidly. We have members all over the world."
"What can I do?"
Yair asked in a soft voice. "You will become the Commander-in-Chief of the Earth Trisolaris Movement. This is the wish of all ETO fighters." Yair remained silent for a few seconds. Then she nodded slowly.
"I'll do my best."
Evans raised a fist and shouted at the crowd,
"Eliminate human tyranny!"
Accompanied by the sound of crashing waves and the wind howling against the antenna, the ETO fighters shouted as one,
The world belongs to Trisolaris.
This was the day that the Earth Trisolaris movement formally began.